I wanted to switch gears a little bit onto the government side of things. We've heard from Air Vice Marshal Skidmore this morning about the new ADF project. I think ADF has been one of the leaders around the world in embracing the use of commercial technology, not just from leasing commercial capacity, but from doing hosted payloads, joint developments such as the Optus C1 satellite, where Defence has a significant multi-band payload on that satellite, the Intelsat 22 satellite, which has a UHF payload for ADF on board over the Indian Ocean region, the WGS constellation, where Australia's participated. We have an RFI in the street now, so I'm taking a risk here whether anyone will actually talk. How do you see ADF requirements going forward? Obviously, there's a whole raft of new assets and capabilities being acquired, from air assets particularly being the prime offender with big requirements, a lot more surface assets as well for the Navy, huge requirements for land forces. How do you see their environment going forward? And if you want to comment on the RFI, feel free to do so or don't. I understand it's a competitive environment out there. Anyone want to kick that off?
I'm happy to start, yep.
Cool. Thanks.
So I think...
Former naval officer, talk about that.
Exactly, yeah. So I think the RFI has actually been very well written, and I think large part of that is that there's been a good engagement between defence and industry at this very early stage in the acquisition. And I think that's going to really pay dividends for both industry and defence in getting the right stuff considered. At this stage, of course, we're not competitive. We're just giving them information,
yeah. Right.
And then Mick will go to government and get approval for the options and the and some money to go develop them. So I think it's been refreshing to see the early engagement. It's been refreshing to see the fact that the probity issue, which normally stymies this sort of thing, has been effectively managed. So I think that's a good thing. I'd say one of the important things for defence is that the days of relying heavily on a satellite you design and build and put into space and operate yourself, I wouldn't say coming to a close, but I think need to be really seriously re-looked at. As technology has accelerated, the WGS satellite is really looking very old right now, and they're still halfway through its life, and so defence must stay with that as they see commercial developments absolutely accelerate past. That acceleration, I don't think, is going to slow down, and I think designing a satellite for specific defence use is going to be a tough decision. There are certain attributes that it's difficult to get from commercial satellites, from other people's satellites, but I think the reality is for the bulk of the satellite communications that's going to be required in the future, they have to look at commercial opportunities, and I think commercial has to look at shaping their offering to meet their requirements. Why would we do that? Well, I think Mark Skidmore's presentation about how much money in Australia is going to be spent on satellite, and defence is so far ahead of every other spender that we need to look at that very carefully. The final thing I'd say is that whatever happens with the investment that's coming up, it needs to be future-proofed. That technology acceleration is going to just make the problem worse. And again, I think areas such as connectivity and future-proofing ability to roam from where you are to the best available network, wherever you are in the world, wherever you are in time, is really an important thing to try and grapple with.
And I think one of the other challenges that we have with ADF is keeping up with the terminal integration issue, that platforms have terminals integrated on them. They're not cheap to do, they're not easy to replace, so it's that changeover, if there's a changeover coming, has to be taken into account. Anyone else with thoughts on that?
Yep. I think that, you know, the RFI was written very well. I think that the range of solutions that Australian Defence asked for, Boeing can accommodate. So we're not trying to push any one of the particular options. If Australian Defence wants more protected SATCOM, we can provide that. If they want commercial SATCOM, we can provide that through the service providers that are here that are using, you know, our satellite technology. If they want a turnkey system, if they want a hosted payload, we've done all those things. You mentioned IS-22, a hosted payload. That was a successful program. So given all that, I think, you know, just a couple of comments are that I really think the optimum solution is that you need, you know, a range of different capabilities, extending all the way from strategic protected communication to tactical protected communication to commercial SATCOM. We heard earlier that the future of space is, or right even right now, it's a contested environment. You have to be looking at that as a key requirement to operate in a contested environment. WGS has been going through evolutions. Every block of WGS gets better. If you've been paying attention to the news, there was a big program awarded late last year, Protected Tactical Enterprise Services, which is a U.S. government program to kind of add a tactical protected overlay or a tactical anti-jam capability on WGS and whatever comes next after WGS. And the great news for Australian Defense is there was mention of you got to be backward compatible with all the legacy infrastructures. Hundreds of millions of dollars would be invested in WGS terminals. So the nice thing about this new program is it kind of overlays on WGS and whatever comes next. Boeing got the contract for the hub system, and I think there were other contracts let for the terminal equipment, the modem equipment. Viasat got one. And then, so the nice thing is you can upgrade an existing terminal, which may not be have protected capability, to a tactical protected capability with a modem change or a modem upgrade. And so I think that needs to be a part of Australia's future SATCOM capability.
Thomas, you want to jump in?
Few points. First thing is I fully concur with all what has been said. All the RFI has been described around the mission that has to be delivered. So this is the main point, and that's why the RFI is really well written, because Australia is focusing on what should be in the hands of Australian people and of Australia in order to manage and to deliver the mission that is required. It's not a satellite specification, please deliver this satellite. Satellite is only a mean. That does make sense because of the capability that is bringing to the people on the ground. And this RFI having a wide approach is very good because Australia will have the possibility definitely to define what is the solution that makes sense in this environment. Of course, Airbus, as Boeing, we are ready to answer this. Luckily, we have a wide portfolio and capabilities in this. And this is why we are really supporting the government and the teams in order just to work on that and to find the optimal way and the optimal thing for Australia.
Great, thank you.
So this RFI, a lot in the audience may not know about it, but the federal government's, the Commonwealth is replacing a lot of its satellite assets for defence. So the RFI has got, it's a very difficult thing to do because everybody in defence has all the same problems we have plus a whole bunch of other problems. They've got upgrade cycle issues, they've got additional demands, they need capacity everywhere, services everywhere, and yet they've got all these other things like people trying to drag them down and as well as just upgrade cycles. And so they've done a very good job of putting together a very wide market-based approach to look at the options out there. So I feel very confident that they'll get a good result, and I think it will be a mix of things, and I think that's probably the right approach. So, rather.
Nick, any thoughts?
No, I was only going to add that, you know, like Optus, they're at a time where there's going to be lots of new technologies. We've bought them a little bit of time because we just before Christmas, we floated Optus 10 over to 156. We moved all the commercial traffic off C1, and we've inclined C1 now, which will have an end of life of to 2029, which is quite phenomenal because we've just had our friends from Mitsubishi visit us recently to celebrate 15 years of that particular satellite. So that's got another 8 years of life for defence to continue with their SATCOM.
Yeah, it's very important to keep that spectrum alive as well at that location.
Oh, absolutely. Filings are key, as satellite operators know.